Welcome to Two Queens and Crystal Things, the podcast where we are on some manifest your life, shift your mind, and raise the consciousness type of shit. I am Christy, and Mia is on her way, but you can consider us your spiritual girlfriends for the next, you know, about an hour. So we have tight time tonight. So we're going to be sure to be quick and efficient. So our last episode, we talked about breaking out of the old mindset, out of the old habits, basically breaking out of your programming. You know, when we are born into this world, we have this programming that comes with us. And when we are going through our spiritual awakening, oftentimes it causes us to dismiss all of the things that we've been taught throughout our lives and then rebuild something new for us. So I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. So for this week, we have a very, 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 very special guest. I'm really, really excited. You don't understand. I've been so excited waiting for this, but we have a very special guest on our podcast today. You guys know that we do interviews on occasion. We want to make sure that we're bringing someone onto the podcast that is going to bring you some information, going to educate you, also, you know, create something in your mind that just makes you think a little bit more. So I would like to introduce our guest for today. We have Neyoshi Hypno. If you've been on Instagram or YouTube, you may have seen some of her videos as she's working with her clients. But I would love to welcome you, Neyoshi, to the show. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Feel free to go and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys reaching out. My name is Neyoshi Green Kebrew. Most people know me as Neyoshi Hypno. I am a clinical and transpersonal hypnotherapist. I work with men and women all over the world to help them heal their soul, break through blockages, and align with their divine purpose. I do that through spiritual hypnotherapy. I also do that in an extended way through spiritual hypnotherapy training others to do what I do. But in my sessions, I basically help my clients go into hypnosis where we look into the root cause of their issues to help them release any unwanted energies, to do shadow work, past lives, and help them connect with their spirit guides, ancestors, to get the guidance and clarity that they need in life. That's a lot. but in short, that's pretty much what I do. I work with everyone from people who are homeless to multimillionaire CEOs and celebrities. That's pretty much in a nutshell. I don't want to keep going on.
No, thank you for the intro. And it's your background is very fascinating. Of course, we're going to ask all the questions. Mia, Neyoshi, Mia.
Hi, Mia. Thanks for having me.
I apologize. I just got back in town like an hour ago, so I'm a little. But I'm so glad to speak to you. Awesome. Very interesting work you do.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, okay. What made you go into hypnotherapy? What did you say? For undergrad.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What did you study for undergrad?
So hypnotherapy, it's a long story, but I'll keep it short. Never in a million years that I would think that I would be in this work. In college, I always had an interest in psychology, but I could never see myself in a position of the traditional psychology as a psychologist. Or psychiatrist or anything of that nature. It was just like, yeah, that ain't me. Fast forward to after I've had children, etc. I guess you could just say spirit led me to it. A series of what you might call coincidences, which led me down the rabbit hole more and discovering certain things. And then I came across the work of Dolores Cannon. Got obsessed with her videos, and then which led me to the work of another woman who was sharing some of her videos and her things. And I was just like, this is like real, like this actually happens. Like, this is crazy. To the point where I was literally watching these videos morning, noon, and evening, like making dinner, watching the videos, wake up in the morning, get dressed, watch the videos, making lunch or in the car, watching videos, like, and me and my husband would be watching and I'll share with him, like, yo, did you see this one? And I remember one day I was in, the kitchen making dinner. And, my husband, I was making dinner and I was watching one of the videos and my husband was like, you know, you've been really good at this. And I was just like, I don't know about all that. Because the things that I was seeing wasn't aligned with what my parents would probably say was, it's not something that they wouldn't approve of. Because, you know, you're dealing with spirits and, you know, you're talking about these spirit releasements, attachments and all this, you know, the past lives and all this stuff. But I was like, they're going to disown me. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to disown me. So I was like, I don't know about that. That was my first thought initially when he said that. And I was like, I can't do that. And then I was like, shit, I don't even know how to do that. Why would I? And then I was like, you know, basically I hear spirit tell me, like, listen, like, you can't just be sitting here, you know, worrying about what other people are going to think about you, living for everybody else, doing what they want you to do. The same way in college where you recognize that you didn't want to go down one route and you told your parents you're changing your major and you're doing something else. This is the same thing. Like, you got to do what you need to do for you. Because I remember in college, I was, you know, scared to tell my parents, I don't want to be a pharmacist anymore. I know y'all want me to do that, but I don't want to do that. I don't believe in it. It's certain things. And I was a certified pharmacy technician for years. And long story short, I was just like, I can't do this. I can't. And told my parents I'm changing my major. And they, you know, of course, were reluctant to it, but, you know, they understood. Pretty much the same thing happened with this, where it was just like, girl, what you mean? You know, I grew up in a Christian household, you know, although my parents knew that my religious, what you could say, religious beliefs were different. My spiritual beliefs were different. I still was like, I don't know, they really might disown me. But when I decided, you know, okay, I'm going to do it. Spirit was like, you need to do this. Forget all that. Like, you can't be living for everybody else. I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. Decided to do a training. It wasn't the Dolores, because everybody thinks I'm like, I do the Dolores Cannon stuff. I don't. I was looking into one of hers and I was just like, yeah, it doesn't have enough for me. I'm looking for more. And Spirit led me to the trainings that I needed. But when I went to, after I did the training and then started doing the work, and, you know, my mom was just like, okay, well, this is, you know, just be sure, be careful with the spirit stuff, you know, protect yourself. And, you know, cause I don't want no spirit hopping out on you and hopping out in the house. And
I appreciate mom for that. She was looking out. She's like, look, I might not know what you're doing, but I know a little bit enough to know.
Yeah, and I've had my own experiences with spirit attachment, so to speak, before I even, like when I was 16, before I even knew what this, all this stuff existed. But yeah, so that's pretty much how I got started in the whole shebang. It was like an alignment of events where pretty much my husband, like spirit always used my husband for several different spaces or phases in my life to help me move forward from one. Because if it would have left to me, I would have never had the inkling of like, oh, let me do this. It would have been like, no, I'm just enjoying watching the video.
The importance of partnership, of picking the right partner, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So wait, real quick before we get into the sessions, I'm curious how much of you going through the process of learning how to do this was a part of your own healing of, you know, Yeah.
Great question. This didn't come until after I started. Like, I was already well into my healing process.
Okay.
I like to tell this important, this story, because I think it's important. There was a time when I was really going through it, like depression, anxiety, like whole other level, two children, relationship rocky, And I was really going through it, right? Two small children. And there was a point where Spirit was like, you're going to have to step things up. You're going to have to start deciding what you're going to accept, what you're not going to accept, and moving on it. And the moment I made the decision to move on it and to do the healing work, like I started shadow work before I even knew what shadow work was, before it was popular and called shadow work. But I was starting, this is like, I would say maybe 13, 14 years ago. And I literally like would basically like take certain parts of my life and be like, I don't like this, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, that. And if this person can't get on board, they ain't getting on board. And this part of my life, I'm like, this. And this is what I'm working towards. And I literally, like, had to do a lot of healing work in every area of my life. From, like, I talked about the depression, the anxiety, relationships, all of that, just going through it. And the moment I started to level up and really heal from the things that were troubling me, that's when everything started to fall in line. But it had been years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had been years. I didn't start this work until 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't discover the work until maybe like a year and a half, 2 years before that. So again, like I told you, this was not something that I was like looking towards. Like I saw it and like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. But the moment it was introduced to me, I was like, and my husband said that, it was just like, I don't know, but something about it, you know, that feels right. Like this might be what because I had a long journey of looking for what I was supposed to do in this world, like my purpose. And I tell the story about me being five. I'm not going to go into that story right now, but it was a long journey because I've always known since I was five that I was here to do a particular thing, that I was here for a purpose. And that, since that time, I was literally, without even knowing that it was called purpose, I just knew I was looking for that thing that I was here to do, that I was supposed to do. And I knew that had to do with my career and what I was supposed to be doing to give back in this planet. I hope that wasn't too long.
No, that was perfect. So in your process, when you were learning about, you know, yourself and going through your own healing, when you were introduced to the hypnotherapy, how did you know this? When did it finally click that, okay, this is for me? This is, you know, this.
That moment, like I said, the moment after I got out of the, oh no, my parents are going to kill me or they're going to disown me. And then sleeping overnight, Spirit confirmed to me like, no, this is what we've been preparing you for. And when I look back now, if I had discovered it before, I would have been ready to step into it. I wouldn't have been ready to do it because I wasn't. I would have been in a place where I wouldn't have been able to hold space for nobody to help them heal from what? Shit, I got my own struggle. What you talking about? I'm going through the same thing you went through, you know? So I hadn't done the healing work myself. And so not having done that, I wouldn't have been able to step forward and recognize that this is what I was here to do, probably. Cheers. But it was that moment when that night I laid down to sleep, was like, I think this is what Spirit has really led me to do. And I got the confirmation of that night. And then I think a few months later, I took a training. That was cool. when I literally started to do, I was just like, this is it. This is it.
Can we go back quickly? I do just want to ask you to talk a little bit about, like, so what is hypnotherapy? Because some people listening may not understand exactly what that is and what does that mean?
So hypnotherapy is basically the use of hypnosis to help you tap into the subconscious mind and memories to help you find the root cause of whatever issue you might be dealing with. So it could be anxiety, depression, fears, physical symptoms such as migraines. Sometimes it manifests in physical ways in the body. Any way that, you know, any emotional type of situation, that things that we haven't been able to get through. They'll basically help you find that root cause of that situation. So once you find the root cause of it, you're able to help resolve it then from that standpoint. Yeah.
So basically, after you kind of help people identify their root cause, that's when their real work begins.
Mm-hmm. And at that moment, once I found that, I figure out what the cause of it is. If it's like, let's say, an emotional, let's say it's anger because you felt like you were abandoned by your parents and you've been carrying that anger since you were five. Mm-hmm. And it's playing out in other parts of your life, in your relationships, friendships, career, whatever, because you got this anger or the temper. Once we find a root cause and say, oh, this is where it came from, then I help you basically understand what occurred there with that situation, and then help you rewire, so to speak, help you understand it more so that you can release that anger. And once you release that anger, then, you know, you can pretty much move forward in a better way after that. But it's so powerful that I have clients every day that I see that literally, whatever situation, and it doesn't fix your whole life in one session, let me say this, but it's so powerful. It's so powerful that literally you can get relief from a situation in one session. It's something that I've had countless number of clients say, I've done so much more with you in this 3-hour session and healed so much in this 3-hour session than I have 10 years of therapy. And that's not to say that it's a replacement for therapy, because I do work with other mental health practitioners, mm-hmm. And professionals. In fact, a lot of them will send me clients and say, hey, go see Miyoshi. But it is powerful work. It is very powerful.
Wow. Amazing. How do you protect yourself? I feel I'm spiritually. So, you know, you're kind of going in, I'm sure you're uncovering some very interesting, and especially when people are bringing up trauma that they're coming with. And so as you are kind of connecting them with them energetically and spiritually, what do you do to protect yourself in that process? That you know, that doesn't come home with you.
Right. Well, I always say my first line of defense is keeping my energy, my vibration high. But the second lines of defense is, you know, sometimes I might do crystals or wear crystals if I feel like the energy is going to be of a certain, like spirit will tell me, hey, put this crystal next to you or wear this crystal. Sometimes it'll just be maybe a little sage before, after. And sometimes it'll just be after I'm done with the session. I'll feel the significance, the weight of it, the energy of it. And I have to go afterwards and cleanse. Sometimes that might look like me going outside in nature and just grounding. I love doing that after a session. Usually like in a park, open field, and I'm just, you know, I can breathe like in a big open space. Sometimes it might look like me just taking a nap and then having, or eating and then taking a nap and like recharging myself. It just really depends on whatever spirit tells me I need to do at that moment. I listen to my body. I listen to spirit. And whatever I feel I need to do, I'll do it. Yeah, but it can look different every time.
We work with crystals, as you know, there's two queens and crystal things. I'm curious, what normally what type of crystals do you find yourself most drawn to when you're working in your sessions?
Usually it's always going to be for myself for protection, because I don't, right. It's not necessarily anything that I need to bring in other than that. So it'll be more of the black crystals like obsidian, things like that. That I use to work with. Yeah.
Cool. So I was watching one of your videos earlier today, and you were talking about spiritual, like spirit attachments. Mm-hmm. What are they? And then how do you get them? And then what are some signs and symptoms that you've seen?
Okay, so I'll go over that briefly, because I could do a whole, I've done a whole video. And every time somebody asks me that question, I'm like, oh, that's too much for me to go through. I'll first say there's a video on my YouTube channel. I think it's maybe video 32 or 33. I can't recall. But you have to scroll a bit, because there are over 250 videos on my YouTube channel. But there's a video on my channel where you can get all that information you just talked about and more. But long story short.
Really quick. So people, can you say your YouTube channel for people really quick?
Yeah, it's Neoshi Hypno, NeoshiHypno, Neoshi Hypno.
Okay, you guys hear that? So go check it out. Go ahead.
But for just to be short, spirit attachments are basically, and they come in different forms. But in a nutshell, spirit attachments are basically energies or spirits, or that's what we called our loved ones who cross over, transition, who kind of stay stuck around in the space. That's one type of attachment. But that's probably maybe the most common one that I find one of the most common. And they basically will roam because, you know, they've lost their body. Sometimes they don't know they're dead. Sometimes they don't know, you know, they're dead. Sometimes they're just like dealing with stuff emotionally that they haven't been able to overcome to transition to go where they need to go. And so they will hang around, and if they come across somebody who has a low vibrational energy that matches theirs through anger, rage, sadness, depression, anxiety, fear, you name it, any low vibrational energy, they can and will take advantage and attach to them. Again, how it's possible is because you're vibrating and matching their energy.
Yep.
Right? So it makes it easy. As long as you keep a high vibrational, which is what I talked about before, my first sign of defense is me keeping a high vibrational energy field, is so that I don't allow myself to be opened up to lower vibrational energies, whether it's in my home, outside my home, or clients that I'm dealing with. So they will find ways to attach to you. Sometimes it could be, you know, you're drinking or you're just down, sad and angry and mad or whatever, and they come across you and they're just like, oh, okay, it's like a kid in a candy store. Let's go play. Let's go have fun. And they can attach to you on any part of your body, literally, whether it be your physical body or even your energetic body, they can attach. And once they attach, they start to cause certain issues, the symptoms that I call, which is why am I going to get into that? That's going to be a longer story, but they'll cause certain issues like physical issues like pain or migraines or, I forget the name of it, but ringing in the ears. That was one that one of my more popular videos that I shared. Even emotional and sometimes mental situations where a person is thinking this is coming from a situation, or this is like not sure where it's coming from, but they literally will attach to you and they will bring these issues with them. And if you have these issues yourself, they won't just bring it with you, but they'll enhance or magnify the issue within you. But once I find them in a session, we identify who they are, where they came from, et cetera, all that stuff. I basically help convince them to go to the light. once they go to the light and they leave my client, I have them take their things with them. And as soon as they're done and they take all their things, literally my clients will be like, it's gone. Like whether there was a pain, a migraine, ringing in the ears, anger, sadness, you name it. Gone like that.
Neoshi, it's so funny because some of the spirits too, when you tell them to pack up all your things and go, you know, you'll ask the client, like, did they pack up all their things? Like, no, they left something behind. You're like, oh, I mean, it's some of the situations that you have like recorded are hilarious.
It's really so, Neisha. Have you ever come across a spiritual attachment with someone who is vibrating high, let's say, and then there is a high vibrational spirit that attaches to an energy or a body here?
Well, they're high vibrational. That means they're usually like an ancestor, someone who's crossed over, a guide, or something of that nature. Yes, I've come across, it's rare, but you come across some people who are there and they're guiding them, trying to help them deal with some things. It'll be a guide, it'll be an ancestor, and they are up the light. And they'll say, yeah, I'm up the light. And I won't, all right, okay, cool, do your thing, because you're helping them. But it's rare, but yeah, I have found that occasionally.
I was about to say, I think Christy and I have both found when working with spirits that when you ask them who they are, they tell you, you know, they show themselves. They allow, you know. Have you found that some have been dishonest maybe, or, you know, kind of show, tricky.
Quite a few have tried to be tricky, yeah. And that's why when I'm working with my trainees and I'm teaching them to do the work, I always train them on how to identify if this person is who they say they are. They will try it, yeah.
So what is, can you think, okay, out of all the clients that you've seen, is there one situation that has really impacted you?
Or any? Like,
yeah.
Impacted me? I can't say there's one in particular. There's been a lot of them. there's a lot of things, a lot of clients, like what I talked about before, me doing my healing work, and I wouldn't have been able to help them. A lot of them have come to me and they've gone through the same things that I've gone through and healed from. And so I'm able to hold that space. So now I identify with that. And sometimes it's like, you know, I'm glad I healed from that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to hold space for them. But it resonates with me. Like, I know what you're going through, sis. You know what I mean? And so I know how to help them release it and move forward with it. But yeah, a lot of them. I can't say that there's any one particular session that has been more prominent than the other.
Okay. So in your hypnotherapy sessions, you do past life regressions, which I love. however you feel comfortable, would you mind sharing some of the more memorable past life regression sessions that, you've had, or I should say where people are, because, you know, a lot of people would like to think of past, like, you know, everybody's royalty. So I wonder if there's any past life regression sessions where people have been genuinely surprised or maybe even disappointed or happily surprised about what it is that is, you know, their soul's story.
Right. So when you say most memorable, for me, most memorable is the ones that have me on the floor laughing, right? So there's a lot of those. Yeah, and yes, most people think that they're going to be a king or queen of some heist, and it's very rarely that you're seeing showing those lies. That's why I always tell my clients, whatever you're expecting, get it out your mouth. Don't expect that, because it's most likely not going to happen. But there have been some sessions where they have been this queen or this king, and it wasn't the ideal life, though. It was a lot of pain and misery in that life. And so they're a lot of times shocked, like, oh, I can't believe all this person and this horrible life and da da da. Like, I was a queen, but I was so miserable. I was miserable and I couldn't do what I wanted. My father wanted me to do this and I didn't want to do this. I want to do this and da da da. And like full on out, emotional tears, everything. And I think some of the most memorable or funnier sessions, let me see if I can think of a few.
Yes.
Mama and Muriel, I think was her name. She was my client's grandmother in her past life. She's her past life grandmother. And she was still guiding her in this lifetime. And, when we got to, we went through that life with her, and then when we got to the part, excuse me, there's a part in my signature session that's like my most popular session. That's the one that you guys all see on YouTube, but there's other different sessions that I offer. But there's a part of my signature session where we go to speak with the spirit guide. And when we had went through those lives and talked to Mama, find out what was going on, and then we went to talk to a guide, and it turns out to be Mama again. So I'm like, okay, here you go, because she's already shown her personality. She's kind of feisty. So we get to her, and then we find out there's some energy that my client's holding on to that she needs to let go of. And I asked her, you know, so do you want to do this, or do you want me to do it? Because I always give them an option. You want to do it? You want me to do it? And from what I heard, she was like, oh, you could do it. And then so I start to go do it, and she's like, hold on. Hold up. What you about to do? Where you learn this from? Who taught you? You know what you're doing? And I'm just like, the first time a guide has tried to check my credentials. I was just like, yeah. And, you know, she was like, okay, we gonna see. And we go through it. I help her release. And then I go back to mama and I'm like, so how'd I do? She's like, you good. I give you your props. Okay. I don't say this to everybody, but thank you. You know, people usually do the thanking to me. But I'm gonna say thank you. You did your thing. And so that was funny as heck, because I was just like, I thought you knew I was here to help, but you want me to go myself. Okay. and then there's another where, which one? of these spirit attachments, those are usually the funny ones, where they don't want to go. And they're just basically just pulling all the stops to try to convince me that they don't want to go, that they shouldn't go. And was one with red. who had attached to my client as a child when she was a baby, and Red and Carter. And they basically cussed me out. Well, Red did. And Carter was like, I'm over this, like, I'm ready to go, but when I get to the light, can you just like make sure that me and Carter don't go to the same place, because I don't want to go with him. Carter's like, I only came here because I saw Red attaching and I know he was gonna cause some trouble, and I was trying to help her out, but I don't want to be with Red no more. And so, and then we have Sassy, who another spirit attachment, who was a prostitute, or she might call it an escort. And she just wanted to my client to date men and get their money and live lavishly and this and this. And I'm sassy and I'm going to help her be sassy and basically scam these dudes. And she didn't want to take all of her stuff. She's talking about, she wanted to leave some shoes behind, and she's throwing shoes out the window and like, no, take your stuff with you. And, you know, she's like, can I have my teeth? I don't have the teeth anymore. Can I get teeth when I get to the light? And I'm like, yeah, boo, you can have whatever you want. Just go. So, yeah, it's some of them are really hilarious. Yeah, like I said, it's only over 250 videos on my channel. You scroll through there. Highly warn you, though, like I do everybody, they are highly addictive.
They are.
That's what Chrissy said. She said they're so addictive.
They really are. And it's so funny how these spirits actually have personalities.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's something you just don't think of often.
Yeah.
And so how many times, I did see one video where one of your spirit guides came through and had a message for you. How often does that happen?
Oh, yeah.
I like when that happens. That's happened quite a few times. But even when it still happens, I'm still surprised. Like, oh, you're talking to me? Yeah. Because it'll always be out of nowhere, literally. Like, I'm like asking them questions about my client, for my client. And then all of a sudden, yeah, Niyoshi, by the way. And I'm just like, me? Yeah. So that happens sometimes.
That's so cool.
I'm curious, after after your session with people, when they come to, do they remember the session? Or, you know, I know that you give them a recording, you give them, because she provides several things to take with you after your sessions. I mean, 3 hours, that's absolutely wonderful amount of time to spend with someone to really get in there deep. Do they remember any of the session right afterwards, or is it kind of like they got to go back and listen?
Most people do. It is normal for most people to remember their sessions. There's a small percentage, 2-3% of people who don't remember. But that's why I record it. So if they don't remember, it's like, all right, go watch it. Everything's there. But a lot of times people, even, you know, who don't remember will come out. They'll swear like they were like sleeping, and like I was talking to myself the whole 3 hours. And I'm like, well, I was not talking to myself this whole time. I was talking to me. So yeah, it's most people do remember though.
So how does the group session work? The group past life? Because I'm going to the March 1. I was able to get a seat, able to get in. February, I missed. But how does it work as a group?
So the group party, the past life party, is not a session. It's a group experience. So what happens is we go, everybody goes into hypnosis at the same time, right? And they will travel to two past lives, the life in between lives and the future. The lives you see will be your own. And again, you may experience two lives that I'll guide you to. And sometimes some people will hop around and experience three or four lives. But that's basically you're going through this, having your own past life experience yourself. There's no one-on-one interaction because it's too many damn people in there. It's I'm guiding you to the past lives. You're experiencing it. You're having your experience. And then I'm moving you on through each scene in that life and another life and another life and another scene in that life. You know what I mean? And then once you're done, hopefully you remember it all and you can share it or write it down or whatever. A lot of people will start there with the past life party and later they'll come and have a session because they're like, I need to know more about what I experienced. I saw this, and this. And then there's some people who fall asleep. And it's like,
what does that mean?
Can't help you. I can't help you if you fall asleep. This is not a one-on-one. Like, I've had one-on-one sessions where my client will fall asleep during a session and I wake them up and we keep going. But in a group regression where there's like 50 plus people sometimes, there's no way for me to know if you're sleeping or not. And I'm not going to individually go and be like, hey, are you awake? Hey, are you awake? Are you going? Like, no, we don't have time for that. It's a, you know, from start to finish, a 4-hour event. And everybody's going through their own, you know, you got so many people just traveling through their own experience. So there's no way I can go through it individually and with everybody and do that. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an introduction experience to see how well you're doing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really, I'm sure that you've probably run into some skeptics over time. You know, over the time, it's kind of like, well, you're right. So would you mind sharing what some misconceptions are about what it is that you do?
Well, just a few, right? So most people, number one, think that it's mind control, and it's not. Like, they think you're going to, like, something out of Get Out, and it's not. they really do. They're thinking it's like sleep. You'll be sleeping because it looks like you're sleeping when you're in hypnosis because most people are so relaxed and they're on a experience. But it's not. Then other people will think that, you know, they're going to be leaving their body and going through another dimension. Some people have said they've astral traveled through hypnosis. That's not common. That's not something that most people say that happens. But it is, you definitely have your own experience. A lot of people will think that it's like you're opening yourself up to demons and something can come in and jump on me and attack me because I'm in hypnosis. And it's like, you don't know, but you're in hypnosis every day. There's things that you do that put yourself in hypnosis every day. You're in a state of hypnosis when you daydream. That is a state of hypnosis, right? When you're watching TV or watching a movie, you're in a state of hypnosis, right? You're sometimes to the point where, you know, you're calling somebody and they're watching a movie and you're calling them and they don't hear you.
Yep.
And you're just stuck like this. You're like, yo, you don't hear me? You got to get up on them, like literally like scream at them.
I know.
They're in a state of hypnosis. They're in a trance, right? So there's a lot of misconceptions that people have that, you know, it's dangerous, you can get hurt, you can get stuck in hypnosis. No, that is true. it's not like that. And then a lot of people come in thinking that I'm going to, you know, make them bark like a dog and cluck like a chicken and do all these things to make them embarrass themselves. I'm like, no, that is not. Like, I know, I get it. I know where y'all getting that from. Because I used to see it too and be like, oh, that's cool. You can make people do that. But that's not the type of hypnosis I do. So, you know, we're not doing none of that. I don't have any interest in that. I always say, when you come to me in my session, know that you are going to do some work and it's going to be for a reason. We're not here just to have fun. Yeah, some people come in and they're curious and they kind of want to do it to see where they go. But it's always going to be for a reason. Like, I'm going to hold you accountable for whatever comes up. We're going to get the work done. and I'm gonna help you move forward on it. Cause, yeah, it's interesting, and yeah, I enjoy doing it, but it's not like fun and games for me, if that makes sense.
Right.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, this is real work.
So what would you? So what's the one thing as a hypnosis practitioner, what's the one thing that you have found surprising?
The number one thing would probably be not knowing how big of an issue, as a society, men, women, all cultures, sexual abuse, how big that issue is. And the even bigger after that, after realizing there's a lot of sexual abuse, it was, oh shit, it's not just the women, like the men are going through this too, at alarming rates, if not equal rates as the women. And even more astonishing of, it's not just strangers really who's doing this, it's parents, siblings, cousins, uncles. Like, that was disturbing to me. I was just like, we have this is an epidemic. This is crazy. Like, I didn't realize everybody, like, literally 9 out of 10 clients have had some type of sexual abuse or sexual situation, misconduct from another person happened to them. Like, they've been the victim of that. Or sometimes they've been the one doing the abuse, and it comes up, and I have to help them work through that too. So yeah, I say this. I would say this work has made me so much more compassionate to people and what they're going through in every day. Like, me interacting with people, I always remember, like, people are going through stuff you know nothing about. And the things that they deal with, how they interact with you, usually have nothing to do with you and everything to do with what they're dealing with themselves internally. And so with that, it's made me a lot more compassionate for that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say I'm perfect, because sometimes somebody will say something and, you know, one of my little triggers will go off that I'm still working on. And, you know, but for the most part, I think I've done a really great job. In this point in my life, I really elevated in my growth, being more compassionate to people individually, to the point where I have to, like, get, once I'm done with sessions and stuff, I really have to take time and, like, be mommy, be the wife, be this, because the work can really have you just really so much in, like, that mode all the time when you're experiencing and interacting with people. You see, it's like, I see that pain. I see there's pain there. I see where that's probably coming from. And I'm compassionate to that. So I'm not going to respond, or I'm going to treat you with care, or maybe inquire a bit more about that, because it seems like there's something there. And just a natural person to me, who's always been that helpful person, the person who everybody who usually come to for, like, advice or, like, problem solving or, like, some type of help, that's naturally always been within me. That person will always, like, the lens is there. So it's like, okay. And I have to take a step back and be mommy, be Niyoshi, be daughter, be sister, be wife, be, you know what I mean? But yeah.
Niyoshi, we do have a couple more questions. I know we want to be cognizant of your time, but I'm curious, because this is something that I've thought about often, like, why is sexual abuse such, like, it seems like it's so powerful in taking and getting people to a place. And I'm curious, in your work, have you come to a place where you kind of see, like, why is it something that's so prevalent? And what it does to people? Like, you know, people can really have a lot of things, but there's something about, it's something about the sexual abuse, especially when it's coming from a loved one that does something different. And I'm curious, from the side of the person who is the abuser,
right?
What is that?
So this is, long story short, it's a generational thing that's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. The abuser is always, usually 99% of the time, a victim themselves. And it might have been from that father or that mother or that aunt, whoever, sister, brother, whoever. And the thing about it is, sometimes the victim will react or respond to that in a different way versus other people who react and respond to it and abuse themselves. So it is a generational curse. It's something that's passed down from generation to generation to generation. When you look into it, it's always when we find out, well, why? Let's find out what's going on. Why did the father do? What happened with the, oh, he was abused too. The mother did this, or the father did this, or whoever, or the aunt, or the neighbor, or the cousin's boyfriend did that to them, right? And they never got the help that they were looking for. They didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know, like, it's always a situation of them being a victim and never recovering, never getting that help, never, you know, feeling as if I've got that healing or that I've released that, like they carried it. And sometimes they will do it thinking that it makes them feel more empowered. Like, somebody did this to me, I'm gonna do this, and I gotta take my power back.
Yeah.
Right? And, yeah. And when they do it, it's even 10 times, they realize that didn't make me feel any better. Now I feel even worse. But now I'm in it, and it's like, sometimes, unfortunately, they keep doing it for years and years and years and years and years and years, and years trying to deal with the pain, thinking they, and just get lost in it, right? And so that's a hard pill to swallow, right? I've had to help clients with that who came in and it was revealed, yeah, I touched my cousin. Yeah, I made my sister do this. Yeah, I da-da-da-da-da. And those are always hard. But again, being the person I am and understanding that it is a generational situation, it's always so rewarding to see that those cycles are being broken, that they're doing the work to heal. So that now this doesn't get passed on to the next generation.
I mean, this is very, very much so breaking generational curses. Yes. That is like, wow. Thank you. Let me see. Oh, shoot. Okay, what about a message?
We have 3 minutes. So quickly, where can our listeners find you? You shared your YouTube.
So you can find me on Neoshi or at Neoshi Hypno Soul Healing on Instagram. Also again, like I said, on YouTube, you can find me at, Neoshi Hypno. Or you can just, if you want more information, about me or about the work that I'm doing, NeoshiHypno.com.
Okay. All right, guys. And that's, Neoshi is Neoshi. Hypno, HYPNO.com. Definitely check her out. And so usually at the end of our podcast episodes, we'll do like a message for the collective or, you know, share something that, you know, that we feel that we've been guided to share with our listeners. We would love if you wouldn't mind sharing anything that you think is important for people to hear at this time.
Yeah, so the message that Spirit gave me this year today was pretty much what I just shared with you in reference to people going through things that you know nothing about. Be more kind to people when you're encountering them, whether it's you're on the road driving or you're crossing the street going to the grocery store or you're in the grocery store or you're interacting with the cashier or you're interacting with your neighbor, whoever, right? The mailman or dropping your kids off to school, interacting with the teacher, whoever, right? People are going through struggles you know nothing about. Having more patience, more kindness, being more considerate. Maybe this person is going through that, something. Not saying let people run over you, right? But just being more compassionate to maybe they're having something. So let me not push this more than really it needs to go. Because again, how somebody responds to you and how they interact with you, especially when it's something just like, where did this come from? Like, what? All I said was hello. they're literally going through things that have nothing to do with you, and everything, how they respond to you has nothing to do with you, and everything with what to do with what they're experiencing, going through, what they're struggling with. So having a bit more compassion for people, you don't know how much of a difference that might make. I've heard some people talk about, you know, they've encountered somebody and they just smiled and asked them how their day was. And that person, you know, said that, you know, that day they were going to go and unalive themselves. But that compassion that that person showed them, let them, you know, maybe another day and another day. Right. So, yeah, that's the message.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And then, okay, I mentioned, what's your favorite crystal and why? And then we
right now I would say, okay, so I go back in between rose quartz and selenite. I mean, selenite because it cleanses, you know, everything. sometimes I even use that with the black obsidian, like just to help with everything. But rose quartz, just because I always strive to bring more love within myself, to be more loving, etc. So yeah, that's what
I would say. I love that. I actually do. You know, I have the selenite stick above my door jamb with it, so cleanse it in, and then the oh my god, it's not obsidian. What's the one? A piece of tourmaline. Shungite. It's a piece of shungite. I have tourmaline and selenite and shungite in my doors. You know, just girl, it's all late. Yeshi, this is absolutely amazing and wonderful. You do some amazing work. You guys, please go check out her site. She has a party coming up, an experience. I can't wait to hear what happens. I'm going to try to get in on the main one. And, you know, we really appreciate people listening, you know, you sharing your story with us. And this, you know, and everyone who's working with you and will work with you in the future, let me just say thank you for following your path.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Like, you know, if people don't listen to, you know, what spirit is telling them or, you know, where they're being drawn, we wouldn't have things like this and people who are really out there trying. I mean, this is really breaking generational curses for real. Yeah. So we really appreciate you, Queen.
Yes.
My pleasure. Thank you. Gratitude. Thank you guys again for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Would you mind holding 1 second? Really quick. We gotta stop the really quick.
Oh, we gotta do that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Really quick.
Just 1 second.
So you guys know where to find us on IG at Two Queens Crystal Things. We also have started posting our episodes on YouTube. So go to Two Queens and Crystal Things on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can find Christy at Christy R. Edwards on IG. Yeah.
And you can find Mia at Wings Unleashed 444.
And you guys know, as always,
thank you.
Thank you. Light, peace, love, and soul. We love you guys.